Thank you. And if you have a problem, wave your hands or do something else.
You'll know.
Come back up.
How is everybody tonight?
Good.
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 Fantastic survey in the packet this week. I don't think she heard me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. Were you talking to me?
Yes. I said, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a fantastic land survey in the packet this week.
Oh, I did not notice that. I didn't look at the whole packet.
It's in there. I noticed.
I'll tell him you said so. All right.
We got like 2 minutes quick. I got a good compliment, Christy, if you can hear me. A foreman that used to work for me for 10 years, he retired. He's moving to Yorkville. I apparently talk enough about Yorkville in the office, and it made it to him that this was a good place. So he's moving from Villa Park, him and his wife. They're building a new ranch house over at that subdivision off of Orchard Road, kind of east, northeast of Bristol a little bit. He says that's still Yorkville boundary. I don't know what it's like. Maybe it's connected to Grand Reserve somehow.
It might be part of the Grand Reserve.
Ryan Holmes. Well, but he spent the last 3 weekends exploring Yorkville. They signed on the dotted line and then decided to explore Yorkville. He can't stop ranting and raving about how nice a town he is and how he wishes he would have moved here sooner. And he even mentioned the wayfinding signs downtown. Right?
Yes. Four. Thank you.
That made me feel good.
Did everyone get the motion sheet I emailed out prior to the meeting? Okay. And Marlis, I'll email it to you. I'll send it to you as well.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as always, thank you for that, Christy. That is a godsend.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep, we got you, Deb.
Okay, great.
All right, 7 o'clock. I don't have a gavel here, so we'll... I call this Wednesday, January 13th, 2021, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Jeff Olson. I'll be presiding over this meeting tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Perez?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Vineyard? Is absent. Olson?
Here.
Millen? Is absent. Markham? Is absent. And Hyatt? Is absent. Thank you.
Well, we don't have a quorum with three, do we, Christy? No. Well, I'm trying to get somebody on the phone. Was anyone that was absent RSVP'd as being here?
So Jason's not on, it doesn't seem. So he had four confirmed.
Hold on.
So there's Jason. I think he had to let some people in. That's what it is. We have a quorum now.
Yeah, I didn't let everyone in. It's my fault.
Greg is connecting now.
There they are.
Oh, there.
Hello.
I got him.
Hey, kids. Hello.
Hello.
Christy, you want me to start over? We started the meeting and then realized that there was too many people that were absent. I think you were sitting in the room.
Are
Christy, do you want me to start over, or you want me to just keep going?
No, you need to start over. Thank you.
All right, we'll start from scratch here. I call this Wednesday, January 13th, 2021, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Jeff Olson, and I'll be presiding over this meeting tonight. May I now have a new roll call, please?
Jason, can you turn your audio off?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll start the roll call then.
Thank you.
Perez?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Vineyard?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Dillon?
Here.
Harpo?
Here.
And Hyatt. Hyatt is absent. Thank you.
All right.
Can everyone mute? I think we're hearing some feedback sound. Okay, you can proceed, Jeff.
All right, thank you. I don't hear anything on my end anymore. All right, first things first. Are there any questions or amendments to the previous meeting minutes from Wednesday, September 9th, 2020? Seeing as there are none, may I have a motion then to please approve the meeting minutes from Wednesday, September 9th, 2020, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
So moved.
You got a second?
I sit down.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please. Marles, you're muted. I don't know if they can hear you.
Okay. Williams?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Abstain.
Olson?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Markham?
Don, you're muted.
See what happens when you tell me to mute? I immediately jump into action. Here, yes, yes, affirmative.
Okay, thank you. And Horace?
Present.
Right. Present, was that? Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Minutes are approved then. There are no citizens here to do additional citizens' comments, so we can skip that section. We have one public hearing scheduled tonight for the meeting. Obviously, the purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public, which are not here. So in this case, we're going to have presentations. Anybody wishing to speak for or against it is also not here. So we're just going to skip all that. We don't need to swear anybody in. And we'll go first to the petitioner presentation. May I have a motion then to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2020-14, United City of Yorkville Text Amendment to Chapter 20 Signs.
So moved.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Okay, Vineyard?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Dillon?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Perez?
Yes.
And Williams?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the public hearing up for discussion tonight is PZC 2020-14. United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, petitioner is proposing a text amendment for consideration of updates to Chapter 20 signs of the United City of Yorkville zoning ordinance. The amendment to the text is related to the non-conformational signs, which proposes to define the term maintenance of said signs. Additionally, the text amendment will provide an exemption for the replacement of existing non-conforming freestanding monuments, static message board signs with electronic message boards along a major thoroughfare, if such a replacement does not increase the overall existing size, sign size. Are you guys ready to make, Christy, are you?
Yes, before I start, I'm having trouble hearing everyone, so don't mind muting until questions.
There we go.
Thank you.
That's better.
All right. So this public hearing is regard to a text amendment that was brought forth from the city council, particularly the mayor, asking the city look at amending our ordinance so that property owners that have legally non-conforming signs, which meant at the time that they erected their sign, it was legal according to the zoning ordinance at that period, but is no longer in conformance with our current zoning ordinance, that they can exchange their existing manual copy portion of their sign out for an electric digital sign. So it'll be a one-to-one exchange. And then, therefore, they would not have to revise their sign to meet the sign ordinance requirement as far as height or wherever they aren't currently meeting the standard. This is born out of a petitioner who applied for a building permit, was denied that permit because the replacement that they were doing was not considered maintenance because it was changing the actual frame of the sign. It was denied by staff, and they petitioned the city council and the mayor to see if we can amend our zoning ordinance to allow for some flexibility for those individuals that are trying to upgrade their technology to meet the changing times, but don't want to do the full investment of redoing a complete sign. So staff looked at areas where we felt this would make sense, in particular, we looked at all the signs along the major thoroughfares in the city, which have been recently affected by widening of roadways, as well as setbacks of property lines being adjusted. So when we looked at those major thoroughfares, we found that there were a total of about 100 and almost roughly 130 signs along 47, 34, El Domain, which is considered a thoroughfare, Illinois 71 and 126. So out of those 128 signs, 130 roughly, we found that 36 were permitted through some type of government approval, annexation agreement, PUD ordinance, or some other amendment, maybe a variance of some sort. But 56 of those signs were considered legally non-conforming. So when we looked at those 56, we looked at what they had in common. And this is just for the major thoroughfare. And we found that a lot of them were impacted by recent widening of the roads, as I mentioned, or they existed prior to our current sign ordinance. The city had undergone a comprehensive sign ordinance update in 2008, and then again in 2014 as part of the comprehensive zoning code update. So we then looked at non-major thoroughfares. So if you look at the public hearing notice, we only addressed the ones that were on the major thoroughfares, and then we were asked subsequently to look at the ones on non-major thoroughfares. And we found an additional 45 signs, and those streets are listed in your packet as well. 16 of those, again, were part of an annexation, PUD, or some other approval mechanism, and 25 of those signs were potentially legally non-conforming. It is staff's opinion that there is merit to a re-look at the zoning code as far as the sign code, because we have this breakdown of COVID happening. We want to be business friendly, but also we have some physical changes in the area. And we felt that if we clearly define what maintenance was in our ordinance, which we don't right now, to say that you can change a bulb, you can replace nuts and bolts, but you can't change the frame, that would give petitioners an idea of what they can and cannot do going forward, which was part of the misconception of this individual applying for a permit. But further, we felt that we could exempt out those existing monument signs that already have some type of manual copy to allow them to do a one-for-one exchange for digital. That would bring down the number in that case to about probably 25 of all of the overall signs on the major thoroughfares. So it'll be about 45% could pursue this as an opportunity. And then of the non-major streets, you probably look at about 40% of those being able to do this. So that it would be more than a handful of signs, but it's only specific to the monument sign. One last thing that we did, we looked at some historical data of signs that we had dismissed or denied as part of the building permit process. And we found that, you know, those types of requests that are similar to what this petitioner is requesting accounted for less than 1% of all the permits applied in the last 5 years. And those are non-conforming signs looking to do something that they're not permitted to do without bringing the full sign into compliance. So we don't think this would heavily impact people rushing to do these changes, but we may see a slight uptick in those petitions coming in where we would allow a non-conforming sign to do something that we wouldn't have permitted prior. There's a draft motion in there that specifically includes the non-thoroughfare streets. So if you want to include that in there, that language is already in there. If you would like to exclude those areas, you can do that as well. And the reason being is the thoroughfare signs are the ones that are trying to catch the attention of drivers that the location isn't a destination, it's a convenience or an impulse buy. They're trying to communicate something to the public, and therefore there's merit in that. The non-thoroughfare signs tend to just be, the monument signs tend to just be signs that identify the business and not necessarily are trying to convey information to the driver, because they tend to be destinations where people know that they're going in the first place. So if you have any questions, staff is available to ask to answer those. And in your packet, you also have information related to where a lot of these developments are occurring for the signage along our development map. Thank you.
Any questions for Christy right now?
Yes, I have three questions. Hi, Christy, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, it's nice to see you. Hold on, I'm sorry, I don't have video here. How many of the 130 of these signs were non-conforming in 2014 when we did the comprehensive review?
So I don't have that number as of 2014. I only have the current. I can go back and research that.
No, yeah, that's not a huge deal. I'm just... I'm not quite certain I agree with this being considered maintenance. I mean, this is replacement. I understand everything.
Staff isn't purporting that this would be maintenance. We're clearing up the definition for maintenance. This would be outside of maintenance.
Outside of maintenance.
Yeah, this would be an exemption that they don't have to bring the entire sign into full conformity.
Okay, so couldn't this petitioner have just asked for a variance on this sign?
They could have asked for a variance. I don't think that they would meet the standards for a variance. The variance has to be something that isn't self-imposed.
Self-imposed, right.
It would have to be something unique to the site. So I don't think they would have qualified for a variance. However, they could have asked for, like Mr. Millen did with his request, they could have asked for an appeal.
Appeal. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. That's where I was going with it. I guess I see that the 130 in all this, but I mean, one person asked, and we've been doing this for almost 8 years. Like, signs have been 90% of what's come in front of us since I've been on the board. Is it worth changing because one person requested it? I mean, are we going to find ourselves in a few years readjusting signs yet again?
I don't know.
Yeah, I can answer that. Definitely, we will.
Okay.
Signs was going to be a part of the UDO, so it was going to be a comprehensive look at signs. So we may end up adjusting this further in the near future.
What drawback does it have for us to allow non-conforming signs to switch out something in the name of trying to drum up business? I don't know. I'm saying this truthfully. I don't know that I can see any drawback to doing that? What would be argument?
There could be a couple. I'm sorry. There could be a couple of drawbacks. So one drawback could be that it prolongs the life of a sign that we know, a type of sign or size of sign that we no longer permit. So that would prolong the life of that sign. And the original intent of the code is that as those signs that were legally non-conforming, their use ends, that would be the appropriate time to bring them into conformance, into the design of what the city saw as a whole. That's one drawback. Another drawback would be we have denied permits similar to these requests in the past. So those individuals who did, you know, pay and put the expense to bring their signs into conformance, we'll have missed out on that this opportunity that we would be allowing people in the future to do.
I'm sympathetic in between, but like I said, this is, signs have been have been an issue for me since going through all this, and I mean, I don't want to. Was this something like, when did they catch this? Like,
so the sign isn't up at this point. This was a building.
Yeah. Okay.
This was a building permit that the petitioner requested that was denied.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you. I was just trying to make sure that, like, because in my opinion, it's a whole other story. If somebody went out and ordered a new sign without checking of conformity, then that's an issue. But okay, thank you. Those are you answered the three questions I needed. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What other questions do we have for Kristen?
I've got two. So one, from staff's opinion, is there an economic interest in this, as in allowing this, I'm assuming, is more business friendly than saying forcing businesses to become in compliance along with upgrading to electronic signs? Is that part of the reasoning behind it?
Sure. That was part of the reason for the request that staff addressed this. It's part of the decision to say there's some merit to this discussion, because some of the impact to the business owner was not their doing. It was, you know, state right of way and increased traffic along the roadway. So that did play a role in the recommendation. And of course, now we're in a situation where our businesses need the assistance totally right now to stay alive.
Totally. And that's exactly where I was going with that. Thank you, Christy. Mm-hmm. My only other one then is, do you have a recommendation as if we should apply these standards to just the major thoroughfares or also the non-major thoroughfares? I know you mentioned that there's wording for both allowances. Do you have any preference?
So originally staff suggested the major thoroughfares only, because those are the ones that are heavily impacted, and it made more sense to why they would want to be messaging to their customers.
Why would you limit it, though? Why would you limit it to one location rather than everywhere?
So I am getting to that. When I was asked to look at the non-major thoroughfare, initially staff didn't think that there would be a need for those areas. Like I mentioned, those are typical destination locations. But when I did the data and the research, I found that there were a significant amount of signs along there that did have monument type signs, and some that did have changeable copy. So it could assist those individuals, especially the ones that are not necessarily on the, you know, corner of where a thoroughfare and a non-major thoroughfare intersect, but a little bit ways off. So there's some benefit to it.
I would argue that just like we were saying, some people with past sighing and missed out on the opportunity to do this, I wouldn't want to miss out on the opportunity to do it just because I'm not on a major thoroughfare. I've been in this town for 40 years, and I don't know where everything is. I mean, you go back in the commercial parks and you see, oh, I didn't know that existed there. Those signs are, in my opinion, just as important as the major thoroughfare signs. That's my two cents. We got any other questions? All right. Since all public testimony regarding this petition has been taken, may I have a motion to close the taking of testimony in this public hearing, please?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Olson?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Perez? Perez?
Unmute. Sorry. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Williams?
Yes.
And Vineyard?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is closed, and seeing as there are no items on unfinished business for discussion, we'll move on to new business. The first one up for discussion tonight is PCC 2021, and is Jason presenting on that, or are you, Christy?
I'll be presenting on that.
All right, go right ahead.
So PCC 2020-11, Luz M. Padilla, Abbey Properties. They're requesting a final plat of phases 2 and 3 for the townhomes at Kendall Marketplace. If you'll remember, earlier in the year, we did the phase 1, which was the original 48 townhome units, which are currently under construction. This would be for 72 new units in phases 2 and 3. Like I said, the property is Kendall Marketplace townhome, so it's just south of Blackberry Shore Lane, north of the Kohl's Home Depot Target area. The plat they've submitted is consistent with the overall conceptual plan from the original development ordinance from 2006. It is also consistent with the phasing plan that was looked at and approved back in May. Some plan council, so we took this to plan council and EDC. All of our comments have been addressed through the final plat. The petitioners provided updates. We had some questions to see if they wanted to do phase 4 to kind of cut out doing another one of these, but they're totally comfortable doing this again. They just wanted to do phase 2 and 3. Staff also had questions about stormwater management, as it looked like it was in phase 4. But we were informed that by the petitioner and confirmed by our engineering consultant that the stormwater basin is already there. Detention is already ready to go. So the replatting and the eventual development of these townhomes, stormwater management has already been established. So for the most part, this is just a pretty simple final plat. It follows all of the regulations. EEI has gone back and forth with them a couple times. The final plat you see in there now is the final one, but any other comments from EEI will be attached to the ordinance, so they'll be beholden to anything our engineer says, which is typically what we do anyway. I believe Ashley and Dave Schultz are here. If you had any questions for them as well, go for it.
Does anyone have any questions for Jason or otherwise? Nobody? All right, then Christy, would you like us to vote on these individually or vote on them all in the end?
I would prefer individually.
Okay. Then can I have a motion, please, to approve the petition for PCC 2020-11 Abbey Properties final plat approval?
So move.
Have a second?
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes.
Someone's got to read the motion.
Oh, I always miss that. Always.
I got it. In consideration of the proposed final plat of subdivision for the Kendall Marketplace Development Lot 52, Phases 2 and 3, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the plat to the City Council as presented by the petitioner in a plan prepared for H.R. Green, dated last revised January 6, 2021.
All right, then a roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Millen?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Perez?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
And Olson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion is approved. Christy or Jason, could you please present your memo on PCC 2020-12 DR Horton final plat amendment?
Okay. D.R. Horton, represented by Bruce Mellon, is looking to do what we did with Raintree and I believe another portion of Grand Reserve. A lot of these lots, when they were originally platted, had the EBEs, which were the exception to the blanket easements. Again, it makes it clearer and easier to exchange title if it was a fee simple lot. So they are looking at about 80 parcels consisting of about 7 acres of land in Grand Reserve within units 15 and 22. The lots are planned for new residential townhome units, and they are seeking to replat to establish that these units are fee simple and no longer under the EBE. If you notice, the location of these lots are near Mill Road, and Mill Road is going to be part of an area that the city is working with the developer to upgrade. So this would be a benefit as well, that they can sell these lots and that they would have that area currently under an agreement with the city to complete the upgrade to that road. As I mentioned, Bruce Mellon is here. We did go through a plan council discussion. There were very little comments. The first plat did have the title of the actual neighborhood, because Grand Reserve is not only broken up by units, but also neighborhoods based off the type of land use that will go there. We did have them exchange that language to reference the units, because that is how the original final plats were recorded, so that wouldn't be any issues with Kendall County. But if you have any other questions about this area, I'm here to answer questions, Bruce Mellon as well, and we look forward to D.R. Horton beginning construction in this area of town.
Absolutely. Does anyone have any questions for Christy?
No.
All right. Seeing as we have no questions, may I have a motion, please, to approve the petition PZC 2020-12 D.R. Horton final plat approval?
So moved.
Second.
Would you please read the motion?
Yep. In consideration of the proposed final plat of subdivision. Nope, sorry. The wrong one there. In consideration of the proposed final plat of Grand Reserve for units 15 and 22, Neighborhood 5, First Re-Subdivision, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the plat to the City Council as presented by the petitioner and plans prepared for Manhard Consultants, LTD, dated last revised 12/3/20.
All right, roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Markham?
Yes.
Perez?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Motion is approved. Thank you.
I think we found our new motion reader.
Yes.
Job well done.
Sorry, Rich.
Like I stole your position.
That's quite all right. I do not do Zoom well, so you are much better at it. Keep going.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have PZC 20-30, Chris and Hillary Weiss House petitioners. Who's presenting on that tonight?
Jason? I'll be presenting on this.
Go right ahead, then, please.
All right. So this is a mile and a half review. The petitioners are actually petitioning the county for a variance. It's for a driveway setback along their property. So since this is within a mile and a half of our planning boundary, the city gets an opportunity to review this, send comments or concerns. You can either object or not object. It's just basically a way to give the county information saying, you know, this might be coming into our community at some point. We wanted to review it. So for the most part, this is located north of Kennedy Road, the Kennedy and McHugh intersection. It's adjacent to many Yorkville properties, but it is not in Yorkville. They're requesting a driveway on the east side of their property, directly on the lot line and at points a little bit over. But the county has a 5-foot setback rule for their driveways, which is where they come in with the variance. So just a little quick detail about the plan. It's a driveway. The parcel itself, if you look on the map, actually doesn't have direct access to Kennedy Road. There's an existing driveway there to get to the parcel that is shared. This would increase the length and go all the way down to get farther into the parcel to where the petitioner is eventually going to build a single-family home. They chose this location for the driveway to keep it out of the 100-year floodplain. There's a lot of floodplain on the property, more towards the front, towards Kennedy Road, but it's higher in elevation in the back. So they're trying to make sure they basically don't have a flooded driveway ever, which is where the variance comes from. Looking at the Yorkville Comprehensive Plan, this property, the future land use is estate, conservation, residential, which is made for large lot, single family detached homes. It's also kind of a standby as a lot of these future land uses are, we don't see being developed in the horizon of the comprehensive plan. If this property at some point were to be annexed, it most likely would be part of a larger development, which probably would see the removal of the driveway anyway. So with that being said, staff did not have any objections to this. It's well within our comprehensive plan on what should be there, and it also doesn't really have any impact on the city. Let's see. So Matt Osselmeyer, the senior planner for Kendall County, is here. If you also have any other questions, since he's working with the petitioner at the county, if you have any questions.
Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, does the county have any objections to this, and have they allowed something like this before? It obviously doesn't affect us, but...
The county zoning board of appeals held their hearing on it at the end of December, and there were no objections from the board, no objections from any neighbors in the hearing.
Thank you, sir. I just found that in here. Appreciate it. Thank you.
The easiest thing for me is that number one on what we always ask is, was this a physical, topographical anomaly on the property, or is it a hardship that was only created by the owner? And this is obviously a 100-year floodplain on your property. God bless them for building on the back end and turning this into probably a great house and a great piece of property. So makes sense to me.
Absolutely.
All right. If anyone else has any other questions, please speak up. Otherwise, may I have a motion, please, to approve the petition PZC 2020-13, driveway setback variance.
So moved.
Second. Someone please read the motion.
In consideration of the proposed mile and a half review of Kendall County case 20-30 for a variance located at 9261 Kennedy Road, for the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends the City Council to not to object to the request.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Juarez?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Vineyard?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Markham?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion is approved. Thank you very much. Lastly, we have the PZC 2020-14 United City of Yorkville text amendment. Christy?
So we discussed this in the public hearing. If you have any further questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them.
Anyone have anything else they want to add, share, question, debate, pound the table on? Nope. All right.
Hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Hey, Christy, when is the UDO? What are you looking at doing that in the future?
So we're restarting the UDO in May. And
okay.
We have another like 12 months, 12 to 14 months to complete it.
Okay. No, I was just wondering if this is something that was more than likely have been fixed in the near future by the UDO, or if it would have needed something from us to get done. So that's it.
All right.
So the UDO would definitely address this. They would do a more deeper dive into the history and analysis and get more feedback from the business owners. So we're looking forward to that discussion.
Yeah, like I said before, when it comes to this stuff, I'd rather not change something for one or two people. If we started getting a whole bunch of stuff come in, then it's obviously needs to be addressed if we've got that amount. So I was just trying to figure out with the timeline of, you know, if this petitioner waited 90 days, if this would go through, or if they just needed our action tonight.
Sounds like this will help quite a few people in the long term. All right. If we have no other questions or comments, could I please have a motion to approve?
I just want one more thing.
Go ahead.
Are we going to include the non-major road language?
Well, what's the thought? Does anyone have an opinion on any of
those? I say yes.
I say yes too. Non-thoroughfare roads?
Yes, I believe that too.
I don't see any reason to exclude it.
No.
No one's asked for it, so the question is do we just blanket this as everybody, or do we just let the UDO address it?
My comment would be,
do we take action now, or do we they're going to have a UDO for this in the future?
I would say the UDO is not guaranteed. We should vote on what's in front of us now.
Okay.
Yeah, and deal with the UDO when the UDO comes, if the UDO comes. Who knows?
Okay.
Are we all in agreement on non-thoroughfare roads, or is anyone thinking they want it to be limited to just thoroughfare roads?
I'm in agreement with me.
Okay. All right, then, Danny, let's read it as...
the non-thoroughfare
are included, correct, not excluded.
Right, so as it's written, it applies to all non-conforming signs.
There we go.
Perfect. Right. Easier for me.
Okay, then can I please have a motion to approve petition PZC 2020-14, United City of Yorkville text amendment?
So moved.
Okay.
Please.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on January 13th, 2021, and discussions conducted at that meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council a request for text amendment to sections 10-20-4, definitions, and 10-20-11, nonconforming signs of the city's zoning ordinance to allow for certain existing nonconforming freestanding monument signs be modified without the requirement to bring the sign fully into compliance with the current code regulations, as recommended in a staff memo dated January 4th, 2021.
Thank you. Can I have a roll call vote on the motion, please? You're muted.
Oh, Marlis, you're muted.
There we go. Horaz?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Vineyard?
No.
Olson?
Yes.
Millen?
Yes.
And Markham?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. The motion is approved. Is there anything else you want to update us on, Chrissy, Jason, anything?
So the only thing on the extra business, additional business, is just City Council update. The sign variance we went over in September for Hillside Rehab was approved by City Council. The sign variance was approved. I do know their permit was issued. I do not think they have started construction yet. There's a one-year window on when you have to construct. I'm sure they're just waiting for it to get a little bit warmer since it is a monument sign and they'll have to pour a base and all that. So that's really it for me, unless Chrissy had anything else.
No, I don't.
All right. Seeing as there's nothing further on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
All those opposed say no.
Yes.
Meeting is adjourned at 7:41 on the nose. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks everybody for making it.
Nice to see everybody. Everyone's doing okay?
Hanging in.
Yeah.
Hanging in there. How about you, Rich?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
How about you, Rich?
We are seeing about a 33% decrease in
incidents last year. We've got two testing sites in my district. I mean, to be honest with you, it's real and it's there, but you know, we're just, I think suburban Chicagoland, suburban Northern Illinois has the infrastructure to handle something like this. So we're so much better off than some of the southern areas in the state that have a little more distant hospitals. I see that's where they're coming up with a lot more of the fatality numbers. But other than that, it's good. Vaccines in my area have been distributed. It's actually not going very well. I know a lot of hospitals are reporting about 20 to 40% of their employees actually getting the vaccine. So I don't know what their theory behind all that is, but they certainly thought that there more people were going to get it in the healthcare community, and that so far hasn't been the case. But guys, this is pretty common sense. When you're sick, stay home. Wash your hands. Don't stand on top of people. We are not doing anything different when it comes to body substance isolation with COVID-19 over anything else we've had during the influenza times. This is standard body substance isolation, and out of 55 guys, we've had 3 guys test positive, which all got it from their wives. So just use common sense, people. Stay safe. Stay home when you're sick. God bless. We're going to get through this. It's almost over.
Good to know.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Hey, if any of you guys need any questions, if you're concerned about receiving a vaccine, please reach out to me. I have a ton of literature. So for both Pfizer and the Moderna studies, if you have the least bit of issues, I know that 14 of my colleagues have gotten it. None of them have had any adverse reaction other than localized pain the day after the injection, which normally you see from deep muscle and the fact that the vaccine is going in as cold as it does for the Pfizer is usually the reason for that, but no other outward signs, anaphylaxis. You know, it seems like the people who aren't getting it aren't having too much of an issue. So, but please reach out to me. I can email you and forward you anything you want. I have hundreds of different studies and papers and documentation.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We're going to conclude this. Stop the Zoom. Thank you all. Stay safe. See you later.
Take care.
Stay safe, everyone.